Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. Thank you.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5 and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Hello again. Welcome back, dear listeners. Here we present you the live coverage of the second part of the first debate of Iran's 2021 presidential election. Please stay tuned.
The first question. Candidate number five, Mr. Rezaei. Let me choose the question randomly. Question number four. This is question number four. Regarding the process of privatization, do you believe that the process of privatization in Iran has been unsuccessful? If so, what are the reasons for this? What are the reasons for the privatization not being successful? You have 3 minutes to answer this question. Your time has just started.
The privatization issue, the reason that in this government the privatization failed was the fact that this administration of Mr. Rouhani, yes, regrettably was the darkest administration of the past 40 years. It did not unlock outside locks. It simply closed down the domestic windows inside the country. Let me cite a few statistics. People can judge for themselves. The average economic growth in this government has been zero. The average inflation has been 24%. The average investment has been minus 5%. In the past 50 years, for the first time ever, the degradation of liquidity went ahead of investment. I mean, in the past decade that I have named the decade of lost opportunities, economics of Iran, for the first time, instead of moving forward, it went backward. The economic cake got smaller. But in the past 3 years, now what happened? When Mr. Rouhani and Mr. Hemmati, actually, he represents Mr. Rouhani here, we had this collective inflation the past 3 years, 110%. But we have laborers' wages, salaries, 60% for the salaries of civil servants, 45%. So given the circumstances that you see with the statistics that I put forward, privatization, you see, what path could privatization take? I mean, the biggest mistake in privatization has been that they did not pay attention to the people, those among the factories, plants that take charge of the government factories, and they take possession of people's wealth. They need to be the original people, the natives. I mean, in Russia, for instance, there is this bylaw in terms of privatization. There are 100 pages, that's what they are doing in Russia. And anybody who goes there, they ask him questions, they do research about him, they look at his record, his background, his performance, his efficiency. Here, the individual comes to Iraq City, for example, to Azerbaijan, in Erbil, elsewhere. They have factories there. They sold the land, they separate and dismantle the machinery. No supervision over this. They just want to do this. And then when you ask Mr. Hemmati, he said, I was not informed. I had nothing to do with that. I'm not in charge. Mr. Hemmati, you are the person who are evading everything. And that's how you want to run the country this way? You are a representative of Mr. Rouhani in here. So this is you've created chaos in the country.
Yes,
and
you have trampled upon
the. You've wasted
you.
The blood of the martyrs. You need to be
Your
accountable to some
up.
Of the people.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Let's choose this next candidate. Candidate number three, Mr. Ghazizadeh Hashemi. Let's choose the question that he's supposed to answer. Question number five to be put to Mr. Ghazizadeh Hashemi. Question number five. Question number five is about the prevention of too much imports. If in your administration enough foreign currency financial resources are available, what programs do you have to prevent the excessive imports? You have 3 minutes to answer the question. Your time has just started.
Unfortunately, today we are witnessing a major intertwined mafia imports that enjoy various rents to receive a license, to receive cheaper foreign currency, a monopoly of imports. So they are threatening, imposing a threat to production. A responsible government must set this as its top priority to support domestic production and employment. There are various mechanisms to do so. You can set tariffs. The legislator has, the lawmakers have provided the government with such a mechanism. But practically, there are, practically speaking, there are various means, and the import is, and the imports are actually threatening the production. There is a smuggling from the free zones and special zones, and also cheaper foreign currency has been given to the importer. On the one hand, we are in need of rice production, and in the rice production season, when the at that time, we allow huge imports of rice. A responsible government must prevent shortage of goods in the market, and at the same time must benefit from a small portion of imports for adjusting the prices. It must be less than exports, and the government must be an export-oriented one, and at the same time must not allow domestic production and employment to be harmed. It must not be harmed. So, there are different economic sectors with respect to the supply chain, and you see that we should have the managers of the supply chain to obtain the raw materials from mines, from farming and production of seeds, for example, in agriculture, to people's like sending to people's livelihood and exports. There should be a single management, and that management must be held accountable before the central government to just have the authority and at the same time organize part of the smuggling, similar to what is happening now. There are licenses issued for imports and production, but the owner of the license is doing part of the smuggling.
Thank you very
much. I can refer to the issue of cigarettes.
Let's choose the next candidate. Candidate number one, Mr. Jalili. Let me choose the question randomly. Question number one to be asked. Using the potential of the mines of the country, as many experts say, Iranian mines have dozens of discovered reserves and other potential reserves. Iran is among the top heavyweights in terms of mines, but figures show that this potential has not been utilized properly. What programs do you have to utilize this potential? What are your programs, Mr. Jalili? You have 3 minutes to answer this question.
In the name of God. Well, you see, in our country, we have highly valuable opportunities, each one of which can be a driver of the economy. We have great potentialities in agriculture, fisheries, mining, and industry in various sectors. Just like the compartments and cars of a train. They can act, each one can also act independently as a locomotive and to run and drive the others forward. The government needs to have a plan so that with each one of them individually, it can run the affairs of the country. Now, one of them being the mining sector. Now, we have had accurate and precise surveys and studies with the help of our highly incentivized youths and the studies that we have conducted, like I said, through mines as one of the sectors that can be active and can be a driving force of the country. It can also be a relative advantage of our country. So we can have exploration, excavation, and more importantly, the issue of added value that could be created inside the country. Selling crude is one of the basic problems in our country. That our mines and minerals are sold in crude form. So the better plan and more plans you have for added value, the more foreign exchange you would draw in the country, the more jobs you'll be able to create. And this will indicate the same fact. So there are two major issues here, generation of jobs and bringing in foreign exchange. One opportunity to do that is mining. The economic engine of the country could be triggered that way, and with the help of that, if you pay due attention, you can have a basic, fundamental cost of the country that could be catered for on the back of mining. So one point that I want to mention regarding what my colleagues mentioned here, we are able to do this. If we don't say we are not able to do that, that means there are some people who are imposing their inability on the country. So when we say that in the next 4 years, only the country should not be run, the country needs to be given a boost, a shot in the arm. And in the field of mining, you can see a surge. I mean, you cannot say, so let's say, for example, that I will solve the problems of a couple of mines or some other sectors. That's not the right way to do it. If you have plans for the mining sector and you consider all the potentialities and identify them and remove the obstacles, you know, we have numerous meetings with more than 24 unions and guilds. We have
yes.
meetings, and later on,
thank you very much, Mr. Jalili. Let's choose the next candidate. Candidate number two, Mr. Raisi. Let's choose the next question. Question number two will be put to candidate number two. This is question number two. The subject of this question is actually land grab and capturing land, whether state-owned or private pieces of land has taken place by some individuals using some legal loopholes as well as some fake documents, and this has dealt a heavy blow to natural resources, and a lot of judicial cases are about this. What are your specific programs to tackle this? What are your deterrent programs to tackle this problem? You have 3 minutes to answer this question. The floor is yours.
One of the serious problems is land grabbing, and the land instead of being used for agricultural purposes for residents and other land applications is just turning into an asset like foreign currency, like gold, and there are individuals who are misusing the lands. So we see the output in the judiciary, but if the mechanisms are revised, I mean those who are organs that are responsible. In urban areas, the municipalities are in charge, and also the housing foundation, and the bodies that are responsible, if they fulfill their responsibilities, the cases will not be referred to the judiciary. We have set up a council to protect the public treasury, and the authorities participating in the council to prevent land grabbing. In order to improve the situation, we should turn the ordinary deed into an official deed. That's a necessity. And I've been following up the issue via the parliament. it was approved and it's going through the administrative processes. The official and also the issue, another point is CADAS, and we have remained backwarded in the field of CADAS, so we have done the follow-up, and till the end of this Iranian calendar year, we will fully realize this goal. So it has been announced in every province. The NGOs must be activated, the people in urban and rural areas, they do supervise, and they should prevent any changes to land application. In every case, the government must open the legal path so that the people would refrain from any illegal action. Through the follow-up by the judiciary today, one can see a major reduction in cases of land grabbing. We do have all the rules and regulations, but they are not realized and they are not put into practice.
Yes.
The mechanisms do exist.
Thank you.
In order to prevent land grabbing.
Thank you. Let's choose the next candidate. Candidate number 6, Mr. Mehradizadeh. And let's choose the next question. Question number 6 to be put to candidate number 6. This is question number 6. This question is related to, well, the priority for investment in economic and industrial expansion. In your idea, what are the industrial sections for which take priority when it comes to industrial development, and also what potential can be utilized in this path, and how will you provide the resources for industrial development? You have 3 minutes to answer this question.
Well, you see, the conduct of great economic projects, whether it's invested by the people or by the government, well, it requires money, it requires capital. Now, the capital should be either provided domestically or from outside. Now, domestically, you see what the budget is like. Every year we have budget deficit, and this year too, from 1,280 billion tomans of the budget of the year 1400. The parliament says 350,000 billion dollars, and some experts say maybe 500 billion dollars of budget deficit. That's what they are citing. So now more than 90% of the budget is in line with the current expenditures, and less than 10% is for this to be allotted to the development. Basically, the government doesn't need to make investments. The government should set the stage for private investment. So for the money to be able to come into the country, we have to open up certain ways and plans. First comes investment security. I wish the investor should be rest assured that it's open there, nobody is going to stop him, or it was elusive. Money is elusive, and when you say that there is a sparrow that you're going to throw a stone at, and all the sparrows over the tree that will just fly away. This is how it works in investment and money. So bureaucracy, the lack of corruption, and economic rent, that's also a basic principle to heed. More importantly is lack of tension internationally and also domestically, especially in neighboring countries, and also good neighborly ties and peaceful coexistence with neighboring countries. We are located in the region that luckily the level of knowledge, scientific knowledge and know-how, industry, plans, and our experiences that we have compared to many of our neighboring countries, where we are much higher in that level. So we are working on a 500-strong market in the region, not only an 80 million strong market inside the country. So let me again apologize to Mr. Raisi. I should make mention to this point that this council on the that Mr. Raisi mentioned too regarding the public funds and protection of it. I was in Isfahan province, I was in charge, and we're trying to remove the obstacles with it, whatever we could. We tried to solve the problems of any investors on a legal basis. One person maybe was dissatisfied with it, then they would write a little note to the judiciary to say that the public fund is not protected here. They would have stopped this, and they would go to be looked into for 1 or 2 years. This direct interference.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Let's choose the next candidate randomly. Candidate number 4, Mr. Zakani. And let's choose the next question. Question number 7. This is question number 7 to be asked, to be put to Mr. Zakani. Oil-driven economy, actually, there is a viewpoint that the reliance of economy on oil revenues leads to the creation of rent and the inefficiency of the government, so much so that some believe that our country actually has suffered from the consequences. What are your programs in order to use this potential and wean the economy off oil revenues?
Our economy is a state-run economy, and more than the government is effective with respect to economy at a rate of 90%. So the government still run the administration with oil money, and Rouhani's administration run the government, making use of people's pocket and taking money from people's pocket. And I apologize on his behalf, but no one is held accountable, as if someone has come from outer space and did what has happened to us. We have no option but to contribute to leaping production, making use of the country's capacities, and generating wealth and distributing wealth. In order to do so, we should make use benefit from production services, and we should run the government in this way. We have 320,000 billions of unpaid taxes, and also we have the 720,000 of unpaid taxes, and 37, and that in fact, the job opportunities constitute 37% of the GDP. So instead of that 9%, we should get 37% from the employment opportunity, job opportunities. So and you can just receive taxes from the various job opportunities. So we should the government must refrain from taking money from people's pocket and must pursue the path of a sound economy. And my plan is a multifaceted one. A one-sided plan is of no use. This is an economic, cultural, social, and political security-oriented plan, and all these aspects serve the economy. So 70% of the economy in the world is science-based, one depends on education, academic centers, and schools. So we have prepared a comprehensive package, and in this comprehensive package, what matters is that we should counter economic administrative corruption
thank
in
you.
The harshest way.
The last candidate who is going to speak in this section is Mr. Hemmati, yes, candidate number 7. And the last question for this section would be question number 3. Mr. Hemmati is going to answer question number 3. controlling prices and regulating the market. Over the past decades, one of the tools of governments in order to stabilize the market has been measures to stabilize prices. How successful has this approach been, and will this approach continue in your administration? Otherwise, what is your solution to regulate markets?
Well, let me say greetings again to respected viewers, noble Iranian people. In the first place, let me say that I'm not representing Mr. Rouhani here. I was put aside from the central bank because I had a difference of opinion with Mr. Rouhani. But I should say Mr. Rouhani is more powerful, is more a better politician, he's a better citizen. He was better than all of you. But he also has the same problem. He doesn't have this economic insight. And that's what my problem was. So I'm asking you to pay attention to this, that Mr. Rais is that there are two economic groups that have their own comments. If you don't have an insight, which one of them would you pick? So in the world, this is not an issue now. One who makes it an economic decision needs to have economic insight and knowledge. Mr. Haidari, we have this comprehensive plan. Friends shouldn't think that just because, in the first place, you know, our friends, the five of them spoke against me, so I had to respond to them. But I have detailed plans, you know, regarding prices and pricing. I should say that I don't believe in that the prices are dictated. The government should not meddle in this. I mean, the pricing of the wheat or import of, tires and, you know, some of the agricultural produce and that kind of thing. That's not the job of the government. The government should invest in infrastructure. The prices, the problem is liquidity. Liquidity needs to be brought under control. The ratio between the budget deficit, the central bank and the central bank, the connection here should be dealt. The central bank should be independent. That's what I support for. We have a structural problems. We have budget structure that's been blown up every day and more costs and expenses imposed, and then the central bank changes to liquidity there. So because of sanctions, of course, we have the list foreign currency, we have added to the problem. The point is, I want to mention is that pricing in the world has failed. So when you say that you should fight high prices, you cannot fight high prices. It's the result of inflation. The relative prices will work out themselves. When in a market you see high prices, the same thing will be copied in other markets. So based on our plan, the government needs to control liquidity and cash flow. If liquidity is brought under control, and if the money basis that's injected into the government, if that is nullified, these are the tools, these are the levels that we need to nullify this. Liquidity was foreign exchange. Foreign exchange was blocked, was frozen. They were all stuck outside of the country. No fresh money is injected into the central bank. So the economic way for production, for inflation, and for economic growth, I have extensive plans, and in due time I will definitely explain that to the Iranian people in detail.
Thank you very much. Well, now we come to the second series, questions of the second half of this debate, that is section 3 of the debate. Now, while I'm opening this envelope, I kindly ask my colleague to replace the pots. In this section, we have 7 questions, and 1 question for each candidate who will have 3 minutes to answer. Questions 1 through 7. Thank you very much. Well, let's choose the first candidate randomly who is going to answer the question in this section. Candidate number 7, Mr. Hemmati. Question number 1 to be asked, to be put to Mr. Hemmati. Question number 1. Generally speaking, 24% of the agricultural produce worth tens of billions of tomans will go to waste, and in order to produce this, 13 billion cubic meters of water is used to produce that produce. What are your measures in order to prevent such huge amount of waste, especially in the water sector? You have 3 minutes to answer.
The issue of agriculture is of paramount importance. Our farmers' livelihood depends on their farming activities, and I have a detailed plan in order to save our agriculture. A figure close to $14 billion of, we are importing $14 billion of agricultural fodder, and it has been somehow reduced, hitting the figure of $12 billion, and some of them are quite necessary, and part of it is imported using the Nimai foreign currency. So our agriculture consumes 75% of our water resources. That's very important, and this is a matter that we should consider a 30-year vision, and we should take up serious measures with respect to the type of irrigation, and also another point is setting prices for agricultural products. We have to guarantee the purchase based on the daily price. That's the problem our farmers have today. And transfer to the consumption market is the second. You see that what happened at the time of the New Year, and the fruits were purchased with a cheap price from farmers and were sold with higher prices in the market. We should set up warehouses, and we should be able to have the commodity stock exchange, so the farmer must not sell the fruits sooner. And in fact, we should bear in mind that we have not been able to create a sustainable farming system, and I can refer to the northern provinces. I think that in connection with agriculture, there are complicated matters. Water is of great importance, also seed and fertilizers.
Yes,
these are of great importance. And
thank you very much
for each of
thank you very much. Let's choose the next candidate. Candidate number four, Mr. Zalkani. Let's see what question Mr. Zalkani is going to answer. Yes, question number four. This is question number four. Well, giving priority to actually prioritizing local residents when it comes to job creation, this is one of the issues which will help reduce unemployment in each province and will also increase the satisfaction of people and will increase the social assets of the country. What is your approach when it comes to using the local residents when it comes to job creation, whether at management levels or for the employment levels? Please, in 3 minutes, give your answer to this question.
Well, I have four approaches. One of them was development in the field of economy and management. In that sector, there are four, let's say, solutions and also operational objectives that I had planned, one of them being a boost in production, one of them social media domineering and electronic government, the other one was decentralization, and the fourth one was fighting economic and administrative corruption. Now, decentralization is the very same point that you're just mentioning, to the fact that on the basis of a new survey and arrangement, and also giving identity to 451, let's say, counties, and also
defining the right mission for them, then we have, we should try to have this pyramid, a social pyramid that we try to activate. We'll use 100% of the budget and funding that would actually be ratified within the budget. 10% of it is the share of the province or the town for decision making. 12% based on Article 75 of the calculations law, and the rest has to do with national or provincial projects. So pessimistically, because 90% of the budget is decided in the provinces. So it has to do with giving powers to counties and little towns, also heeding the elites to be put as the focus and given the priority to take right action, and also trying to, let's say, transfer the credit capacity to counties. 450 points in the countries can start competing with each other this way. So on the basis of that nine drivers that we can have option of choosing, and different subsectors that will be seen in the macro and the micro and also in SMPs, the way we regulate things and arrange things, the whole country will be on the course of production while their powers and functions are distributed within the pyramid of the counties and towns. And it will be made possible for the elite and for the youth in every country to be at the axis of bringing change to that part of the country. And we'll also set the stage for this to see that the misery that this government has put us to this, or maybe there's a legacy of the previous government, not all of them goes that refers to this administration, but it has the major share. Hopefully we could change, move the situation in a direction that through the participation of the people, and not only an economic one, an all-sided, let's say, paradigm will be able to see the country,
thank you very much.
Feel the change in the first year and the fourth year.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Let's choose the next candidate. Candidate number six, Mr. Mehradizadeh. Let's see what question he's going to answer. Question number seven. Mr. Mehradizadeh. A change of use and the destruction of the environment, natural environment has destroyed the ecosystem and led to natural resources and inflicted material and human damage on people, including the floods and all that. What are your programs in order to return, to reverse this and put it back on track? Well, you have 3 minutes to answer this question.
Well, this such actions take place for use by industries or constructing residential units. So decisions are made by various organs, and in fact, unfortunately, our environment has been jeopardized. And one of the main reasons behind this is that by the formation of Islamic councils in rural areas, and at the same time, not designating their authorities in comparison with the authorities of other organs with respect to the issue of land and their relationship with the municipalities. This has led to certain influential persons making different use of the land with respect to the industries. The system that we apply in the formulation of budget basically there's a futuristic and profound approach in design, but in practice, when it is discussed and examined at the parliament, regionalism or a particular approach by the MPs leads to great pressures for creating industries or other developmental projects in their areas, and that causes harms to the environment. So one of the basic solutions is to strengthen the Environment Protection Agency and also to institute environmental institutions should play the supervisory role. In the past few years, we have been criticizing this point that some were ran into problems with in the field of environment, and there was a young deputy working in this field, and he was, I'm referring to Mr. Kaveh Madani, and his presence was useful and beneficial with respect to the issue of environment, and he was named as a spy. And in such a case, if we remain inattentive, then we're going to face the crisis, the water crisis in the future.
Let's choose the next candidate. Candidate number one, Mr. Jalili. Let's see what question Mr. Jalili is going to answer. Question number two. Mr. Jalili is going to answer this question. It is about industrial towns. Based on the figures, part of the industrial units have been closed or have been semi-closed. And so a great part of facilities and resources in the production sector is going to waste, and it leads to the waste of resources, unemployment. What are your programs in order to put them back to production, and what resources will you use? You have 3 minutes to answer this question.
Well, you see, in the past 8 years, I had this opportunity to visit many of these industrial complexes. We have had numerous meetings with the people there. Let's say more than 24 unions we have had meetings with. On those meetings, 14 joint issues were raised. And these 14 issues, approximately all of them, they admit that these are obstacles. What we're talking about, obstacles and impediments to production. Now, one major point that they raise that has caused the industrial complex not to be able to work is funding. The basic question here is, if every day we have 2,000 billions of money that we create for whatever reason every day, so how come those people who are in the production sector, the most important problem is funding? If we create that much money, where does the money go? Where does this money go? Who does it reach? These are the major questions that we need to work on. So we are saying that if you want to prioritize production and one that's main part is funding, you've got to tackle that problem. The second point in the same realm is, let me mention, I've mentioned it here, as to what extent for them to have an export, instability in our trade rules and laws. I mean, there are some bylaws from the United States in the past years in various areas. For instance, regarding steel and ceramics and glass, cement, petrochemical products. You see how far, how many different directives and bylaws that have been, some of them have been contradictory, have been issued. So definitely this dents and harms your production. Now the second point, the other point that matters here is the fact that on top of this, I'll mention that one of the requests is that if you want to, if you make a decision, if you want to issue some guidelines or instructions, why don't you just put your heads together? I mean, we can consult each other. We could at least hear us out, and then you issue your directive or bylaw so that they can push things forward in a better way. Another point is organizations and government bodies that I will explain later on. There is this government apparatus is there for, because when you're industrial complex, when they look at the government bodies, they should be happy because they push them forward. But that's not the fact. You know, there are different licenses and permits that they need to acquire from different government sectors. In Abbasabad, for example, in this region, they said that I've done all this,
And all of a sudden, the environmental organization doesn't give me the permit, or they say, no, that's not possible. But the other organization does.